How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We have a very, very busy show here today. I was not on the program yesterday, but I hear that Mike did a fine job covering a very, very difficult day. 3 deaths in one day in the world of professional wrestling. We lost Brian Lawler, the son of Jerry Lawler, former Grandmaster Sexay. Brickhouse Brown passed away for the second time, actually. I'm sure Mike told that story. And Nikolai Volkov. If you've got thoughts on any of those individuals, you're welcome to give us a call here on the show today. We're only going to take the calls, if we even take calls, actually. We have such a busy show today, it may only do text messages. We have two big guests coming up today. Will Cooling is going to be on the show, talking about the World of Sport debut. I'll talk a little bit more about this after the break, but this World of Sport thing, massively important for UK professional wrestling, and I'll explain why after the break. And we'll talk to Will about how the first episode did. Then the Doctor of Lucha joins us in the final segment of the show. There's a lot to talk about in Lucha Libre, so we'll discuss that here today. If you want to text us here, 425-780-7566 is the phone number. That is 425-780-7566. And I want to make sure to plug right off the bat here, if you have never subscribed to the Wrestling Observer website and you hear us promoting it all the time, now is your opportunity. We are having a one-day only sale. One day only. One full month of the Wrestling Observer website for only $3.99. Normally $11.99. Only $3.99 today only. All of the information is on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. You can head up there. It is stickied at the top. The easy URL, if you just want to type it in, f4wonline.com/399. What could be easier? f4wonline.com/399. I'll tell you what you get after the break, and we'll get to the news and all of the important stuff here today. So back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So I want to mention once again, massive one-day-only sale, full month of the Wrestling Observer website, the newsletters, the audio shows, everything, covering SummerSlam, covering everything that's happening here in August. You can get it all for $3.99. New shows, at least two every day. New observers, at least two every week. Over 9,000 archived shows. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005. Thousands of archived observers. If you want to know how to get this deal, go to WrestlingObserver.com. Or you can go to my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. It's sticky there at the top. Or you can type in f4wonline.com/399.
Tell them Mike Sempervivi sent you.
Tell them Mike Sempervivi sent you. We have not done a sale like this in nearly a year. And I'm telling you right now, do not miss out on this. We got all sorts of feedback. If you don't believe me, just go to my Twitter. We got Lance Storm here talking about how it's a steal. I've retweeted some other people talking about how it's the best decision they ever made in wrestling. So don't miss out. Today only, a full month, unlimited access for $3.99.
I'm going to get a nickel of that.
Yeah. Now listen, everybody. We have Will Cooling coming up in the second segment of the show. I don't want to waste a lot of his time by talking about this when he's on the show. I want to give him a chance to talk, so I'll just say it right here. Mm-hmm. This UK deal, I know that Dave has mentioned it, how important it is for UK wrestling. But I want to reiterate how important this World of Sport thing is here for UK wrestling. WWE is over there right now, and they're talking about a WWE UK brand. They're talking about handing out contracts to people to try to sign them. Basically, if you're on the UK scene, you have opportunities to work for World of Sport and ITV, WWE, if you're any name whatsoever. Now, maybe Will feels otherwise, but I'm going to tell you something right here. If this World of Sport thing is a success, then WWE is going to go full bore into the UK, and everybody is going to have the opportunity to make money in professional wrestling, more than they're making right now, okay? I can virtually 100% guarantee you, nothing's 100%, you understand? But I'd say at minimum 99%, if this World of Sport thing fails, If they do like 700,000 viewers next week and 600,000 viewers the week after that, and they do not get re-signed and this is a one and done, I can virtually guarantee you WWE is done in the UK. There won't be a WWE UK show. There won't be a WWE UK brand. Maybe at a very, very, very low level. But if this doesn't work, like, it's just going to be back the way it used to be. So it's super important. The early numbers, under 1 million on average. I mean, if you want to look at like how many people watched at least a minute of the World of Sport debut, it's over 2 million. But I'm talking about the average. Just like we do the average for Raw, SmackDown, and everything else. The average was under 1 million. And that's not a great number. It's not a great number at all. The show that followed World of Sport, the news, did, I can't even remember what the number was, but it was way more than double that. So week two needs to be big. But I'm gonna leave this to the expert in the next segment. Will's gonna be on to talk about this, but this is a super important deal. I just want to get that out there.
I agree with you, and with the, you know, the NXT UK stuff going on. And while I agree with you, it would not be sound of them. I could see, look, it would make sense if they dominate World of Sport, they go away. It would make sense that they pull back because the competition's not there. But I don't think that they're going to bail on the presence altogether. I would not expect them to bail on the presence altogether. In another era, yes. But I got to be honest, right now, I think the idea of NXT UK, whether World of Sport takes off or not, is there for the long run. I really do believe that. And I also believe that if played right over time, because of how fertile the soil has been over there for wrestling for a long time and its ability to be a portal for the rest of Europe to basically pump out things from there and maybe focus it to the American audience. I mean, not the average fan doesn't know WXW, you know, no matter how much Alan Farrell, you know, as great as he is in talking about it and as great as he is doing announcing for it, the average fan's not going to know about that. They're going to need somebody to actually kind of give them the ear from throughout Europe, and somebody's going to do that. And Ring of Honor going in there, New Japan going in there, I know that might be a little bit of a pipe dream, but the way things are going kind of on their trajectory, I don't think that it's like that far out of the realm of possibility. And I just think when it comes to WWE, while they would obviously strip it back, I can't see them giving up a presence there, even if they don't have to go as hard as they're going right now with World of Sport, against World of Sport.
All right, we've got some other news notes here. In case you, I'll get to that in a moment. Three more participants announced for the Mae Young Classic, including a wrestler challenge for Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor's women's titles this month. Madison Rayne, Priscilla Kelly, and Zia Brookside, all confirmed for the Mae Young Classic. And by the way, if you're going to the Observer Figure Four convention, and you're going to the wrestling show, where in fact I will be wrestling, guess who else is on that show? Zia Brookside. Ooh. Ed claims he signed her for that show.
Really? No.
Yeah, so if you want to check her out, she's going to be there at the Observer Figure Four convention weekend, the Future Stars of Wrestling show on Saturday night.
Such a unique case, Zia Brookside, is because I don't think, if you were to say anybody else, I mean, we've seen, who was it, not Renee Dupree. No, it was Renee Dupree, actually, and Paige, and many times they've signed people under the age of 21, and things have not worked out exactly the way they wanted it to. She's 19 years old, but she's also the daughter of Robbie Brookside, so I don't think she would sign, because I think she's probably better served to continue what she's doing, going to Stardom and places like that and gaining experience, because the door is always going to be open to her there. But if there was ever going to be somebody under the age of 21 who gets another shot again, it would probably be her.
We've also got a new match for All In, with the show just over a month away. New match announced on Being the Elite this week. Rey Mysterio and the Young Bucks will be facing Phoenix Bandido.
No.
I'm sorry, Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido against the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi. I didn't write this.
You ruined a beautiful moment
I'm just reading it here. Let me do that one more time. Rey Mysterio, Phoenix, and Bandido against the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi.
88 stars.
It was announced at the end of the show, with it being positioned as to what Nick Jackson wanted for his 29th birthday this past weekend. Well, hey, my birthday was in June. I guess I got the Rock and Roll Express. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I was going to say, yes.
We've also got Okada versus Marty Scurll, which sounds awesome. Cody Rhodes at
was
this
point. Was it your 29th birthday, by the way?
Versus Nick Aldis, 39th, for the NWA World's Heavyweight title. Hangman Page, Joey Janela, all in. Sears Center, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, on September 1st. So if you're planning on going to All In, you'll get a chance to see those matches.
Where
and it's interesting, by the way. Let me say one interesting thing.
What?
Rey Mysterio's in heavy, heavy talks with WWE to the point where they're basically haggling over how many dates he's going to work for the company. You know they did not want him working All In. But he is working All In. So there you go.
Yeah,
just wanted to mention that.
This is independent contractor right there.
Yeah. So that's the story on that. A couple of text messages here. With today's all-in announcement, do you think we're getting Omega versus Pentagon? I don't know, but man, that'd be something else.
Yeah, really. That's, man, yeah, because, man, who is Omega going to face?
There's plenty of time, but that sounds awesome. Now that's a match everyone's going to want to see that's been mentioned.
Is Seiya Sonata on the, is he all in?
I'm not sure you'd have
is
to check.
L.I.J. all in? I got to find out about that because I am reinvigorated by the Sonata and the G1.
Bert says, tell the folks I signed up in late 2012 to the Observer site. I've not missed 1 month since. I have, though, dropped the WWE Network every year after WrestleMania, and I've come back for Rumble and Mania season. The Observer website, better, he says, than the WWE Network.
It's all you need?
It is all you need. Although,
really?
Listen, I would never tell somebody to cancel the WWE Network because I love the WWE Network. But the WWE Network and the Observer website, I mean, it's a match made in heaven. Except when I have to review Nitro, then it's a match made in hell. F4WOnline.com/$3.99. Today only! $3.99 for a full month unlimited access. Back in a moment with Will Cooling, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Will Cooling joining us here straight from the UK. A lot to talk about. Will, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
It's a massively important deal, this ITV deal, correct?
Yeah, no, it's the biggest opportunity British wrestling's had in a while. And the first night didn't go according to plan.
Tell us what happened.
Well, I've done a recap for Wrestling Observer on the front page, but basically they just try to cram way too much into the show. It's now a show, when you take out advertisements, it's about 47 minutes. They did four matches, two talking segments, and they just had to rush everything. I know we complain about Kevin Dunn and his beloved video packages and WWE, but if this is introducing characters to a casual audience, you need to take time to have video packages. There wasn't a single one. They're doing a weird knockoff of Daniel Bryan versus the Authority storyline with Stu Bennett, the old Wade Barrett, not liking Grado and conspiring to get the title off Grado. Just disappointing. Just not really clear who it's aimed at. And they didn't do well in the viewing figures either. It got just over 900,000 viewers in the overnight ratings.
Now, the celebrity wrestling that debuted a while ago, actually, wasn't that like 3 to 4 million viewers for their debut?
It was. That was a better time slot, more promotion, because that was more built around the idea of it being a game show with celebrities and a reality show. This is at 5 p.m. The show before it got about 1 million people. I think the bigger issue for the show was, A, as John Lister has done some very good stuff on Twitter when he's gone into the detail, its share was pretty bad, about 9%, and it basically got hardly any children watching. About 5% of its, I think 5% of its of the children watching were watching TV, were watching World of Sports. So it was a disappointing number. I thought it was going to clear a million quite easily. Based on what it did for the pilot back on New Year's Eve. So I was quite surprised how poorly it did.
What did the pilot do?
The pilot did 1.2 million over a two-hour block on New Year's Eve. And one of the key things about that is at the moment the soccer season's on hiatus, Soccer comes back and it comes back at the end of August during this run, and so they will be up against the end of the matches, the results programs, beginning of the evening game. So this might be as high as they go, because their competition at 5 p.m. would increase a lot in about 4 weeks' time.
Now, the obvious question is, the word that we have heard is that they're going to probably get about 3 weeks, in the sense that if these numbers aren't great 3 weeks in, there's probably no hope for a renewal. Is that sort of what you're hearing?
That's consistent with everything we've heard. As we've spoken about before, I was always a skeptic of the idea that ITV, that pro wrestling can get the viewing figures that ITV demand to make it worthwhile for them to carry the programming. You know, ITV is our second biggest network, so it'd be the equivalent of ABC or NBC or CBS. So it's a big station. You know, the show after the wrestling, which was the evening news, that got over 2 million people watching. So, I mean, I think this really does need to go up quite high, or maybe ITV just don't care and it's just a way to fill time. But if it's the latter, they're not going to put any effort into promoting it. So I'd have thought they'd need to get more.
Well, when it comes to these shows, you talked about how busy the first one was and some of the issues that it has. Can these shows now be amended in post-production, or is what's in the tank what's in the tank, you think, and there's not going to be any shift away from what's already been done?
I mean, it's difficult to know. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't tweak the shows. I mean, the show's been in the can for a long time, but, you know, TNA managed to retro book an entire tournament with canned footage, so it can be done. To me, again, the key thing is they're just trying to do too much. Now, I will say is the show did end with a teaser, and it ended with a teaser with several matches. So maybe they are just going to air all of these in order without trying to tweak the presentation to deal with criticism. I mean, one of the things I found watching it was the camera work was just awful. I mean, they literally couldn't frame somebody talking in the ring properly, because rather than having the camera straight at level with the person in the ring ropes, they kept doing it at an angle, so the ring ropes were actually cutting diagonally across the bottom of the screen. It was just very odd.
What were some of the positives that came out of it? It's hard for me to believe that Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Will Ospreay couldn't be a positive thing, but what were some things that they could build on, or what were some nuggets that you saw that would give you a little bit of confidence that if they can amend some things going forward here, maybe they can go ahead and get some people looped in here?
One guy I'd not seen wrestle before, but I thought was actually quite impressive, considering what we're looking at, was a guy called Adam Maxted, who is a former contestant in a popular British reality show called Love Island, and he's kind of got a body, beautiful look, kind of the egotistical, good-looking guy. And
Jesse Goddard's?
Say again?
Jesse Goddard's?
No, Adam Maxted.
He sounds like that kind of guy. Off a reality show.
Yeah, yeah. So, but he, I think there was something there. Like, there's natural star presence. They really worked the first match, the 5-man elimination match, and they rushed the intros. Had basically these guys just be introduced as they were walking out together, and he made the point of grabbing the camera, doing a little pose, and flexing his pecs. And there were a few other things in that match where it's like, there's something there with him in terms of playing to the crowd, and he will have a natural name recognition for the ITV audience because he's been on their reality show. So that's good. They did a tag team match where they did a classic heel tag team with a little guy and a big guy of Reese and Kip Sabian. And I thought that worked quite well. And Sabian's a good talker, he's naturally arrogant, and Reese looks like such a monster. And in that tag team format, he can just come in and do power moves. In terms of the Osprey Bulldog match, it was fine. It was a perfectly good match. The problem was is that they didn't give you a reason to care about either man, and the camera work really took against it, not least because they kept doing all these weird close-ups. they never established their baseline for like the viewer's perspective to really sell how high Ospreay's high flying moves were, and they'd often miss things because they were just busy replaying a Bulldog Power Slam or something. So it was a good match, and it's also one of the things that's noteworthy with it is you do forget actually Ospreay is a fairly tall guy, because he was up there with Bulldog and he never looked small. So I think it's, again, more grist to the mill that Ospreay's future at some point is in the heavyweight division.
Well, WWE, just very quickly, I know WWE is obviously pushing the women's, their twist on the women's evolution very heavily, so conspicuous by their absence in comparison would be none in a country, in a bunch of countries there that are really producing a lot of women's talent. When do they come on? Will they be, when will they start making appearances on these shows?
So they promised women's match for the next edition. They've probably got, in terms of experience, the best British women's wrestler in Kaylee Ray. I mean, she's had a fantastic match against Mecca Satomura at WrestleKingdom. So, and she's part of their roster. So hopefully we get Kaylee Ray next week. That seems what they were teasing.
All right, very quickly, the feeling from a lot of people, myself included, is that if this turns around, gets renewed, is a success, WWE is going full bore into the UK, and if this does not take off and the show ends up getting canceled or not renewed, that's pretty much it for WWE. Is that the feeling you have?
It's a difficult one to know. I mean, they've booked a lot of dates now. They're going all the way into November, which is causing chaos for the various British promotions. And one of the things that's often overlooked is those May tapings they did last year, they didn't do well on the network either. So, like, obviously people say, well, they dropped the idea because of ITV, but you know, maybe if those tapings had done better, they'd have kept it going. Obviously, the better ITV does, the more pressure WWE feels to kind of combat them. But likewise, they've got virtually everybody who's got a major name in the British scene, other than Chris Brooks, signed up. So, who isn't currently working for New Japan. So, WWE can kind of sit pretty if they want to. It really does depend on where their head's at. I'd be very surprised if they let people with potential out of their NXT UK contracts, because why not chuck 20,000 at them just to stop them going elsewhere.
Well, Will, I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today. Quick Twitter plug.
I'm on Twitter at Will Calling, and you can catch my stuff in Fighting Spirit magazine.
All right, well, I'm sure we'll talk to you here again very soon. Thanks so much for doing the show, and we're going to head to a break here in just a moment. When we come back, the Doctor of Lucha is going to join us. A lot to talk about. Back in a moment here, Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. No Dr. Lucha right now, so I'll open up the phone lines. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's the sports byline, 1-800-878-7529. You can call the studio line here, 844, I'm sorry, 411-5411. So many numbers, 844-411-5411. Text messages, 425-780-7566. I know yesterday Mike talked all about the deaths of Brian Lawler, Nikolai Volkoff, and Brickhouse Brown twice. And if you listen to the breaking news audio yesterday, Dave was baffled. Dave appeared baffled at the story that Brickhouse Brown, he passed away. Here's what happened to Brickhouse. He flatlined. He was pronounced dead. They called the coroner. Coroner's on his way to pick up the body. Brickhouse Brown comes back to life, says, I'm hungry. Yeah. He lived another 7 days. Now, Brickhouse...
Seven or nine. She may live nine.
It may have been nine. But the point of this is, Brickhouse remembered being dead. He remembered, he claimed, and I don't have all the details here, but maybe we should get Matt Riviere on because he talked to him about all of this.
Please, let's do that.
He, I guess, claimed that he felt himself leave his body and looked down and he saw everybody talking about him when he was dead. And then he came back. Dave actually asked me, have you ever heard of anything like this?
Yeah.
I think After Dark Radio is.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I talk about this stuff. Well, I used to talk about this stuff all the time.
Carl Stern does now.
He does.
A good job, and he does a good job.
Man, Carl Stern talking about Brickhouse Brown's life after death experience would be something else. But I do want to say one thing about this, because this is an interesting stat. Perhaps I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong here.
What?
So there have been many hospitals who have experimented, because of course people claim, sometimes people claim that they pass away and they leave their body and they look down on proceedings and then later they come back in. So there have been hospitals who have taken, whether it be a piece of paper or an object or something, and they have put it in a very high place that cannot be seen unless you are out of your body, as they claim. So basically, if I passed away in the hospital and I left my body, theoretically, I should be able to go up and see what's on this paper, see what this object is, and then when I come back in, if I can actually tell them what's on the paper, then we've got something here. You know what I mean?
God, can you imagine if it's something douchey like a Supreme logo or something
like
that?
But my point is this.
Oh.
So if you don't actually leave your body, let's say that you didn't actually die, but you're basically just in a very, very deep slumber with no heartbeat somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You would hear what everybody is saying about you,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't actually leave your body. To prove you left your body, you'd have to be able to tell them what was written on that thing high up, way up there by the ceiling. And you know what? No one's been able to do it yet.
Well, it's true.
Just want to throw that in there.
I don't know
what happened to Brickhouse. I can only tell you that that's what he said. And he was pronounced dead and did come back to life.
I'd like to think that he kicked out just because he wasn't ready to be done talking yet. Like, Brick just didn't get it all out yet. Because if you've ever seen a Brickhouse Brown, if you ever saw the shoot interview that he did, if you've ever seen any of his interviews when he was wrestling, I mean, it was he had the ability and the gift of gab. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, from my era growing up, that, you know, you had your major superstars and your big names and things like that. But then there were like a bunch of guys who, you know, I didn't live in Memphis, so I didn't see him like his. There was never a run on top for Brickhouse that I really saw. He was just, you know, a guy in the mix. But of like the guys in the mix, he was one of my favorite ones. And he was a guy, again, that I really, really liked. And, you know, him, and there's guys like Iceman Parsons and, you know, guys like that, that just they kind of get lost in the mix with all the other great names. But you time like this comes, and if there's a silver lining to any of this, it's that you start thinking back and you think of all those good memories that these guys, him, Brian Christopher, and Nikolai Volkoff gave you. And at least there's a little bit of something to hang your hat on in a sad situation at a sad time.
This person here says, do you think WWE will let Ray wrestle it all in just to please the Young Bucks to then try and sign them? Absolutely not.
His deal wouldn't start yet anyway until after that.
Here's the deal. Ray has no commitments with WWE, so he doesn't have to be given permission to work all in. Even if he did have permission to work all in, the Young Bucks are not going to go to WWE based on whether or not WWE let them have somebody for a match at all in. They're going to go to WWE if WWE presents them with a number where it makes no sense to not go to WWE. If WWE goes to each Buck and they go, here's $5 million for each of you per year over 3 years, they're going to WWE. If they go to them and they say, we're going to offer you a $75,000 downside guarantee, and you're going to start in NXT, and that's what we're going to offer you.
Boo.
They're not going. And I don't know what the in-between number is.
Oh, they're going. They're just going to Cracker Barrel. They ain't going to WWE.
There's a number. I don't know what it is. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
This is Jim from Virginia. How y'all doing this evening?
Hello, hey. Jim. I'm doing well.
Hey. I was just thinking about the Mae Young Classic the other day. And I've got, I know it's a little bit ahead of time, but I've got my final four women that I would like to see and find out if they'll make it be there all together. This is my final four for the tournament.
Okay.
Tony Storm, Miko Satomura, Io Shirai, and Mia Yim. What do you think about that?
Well, I I think that two of those names will for sure be in the Final Four. I don't know about all four of them.
Well, I like the idea of three of those four. I don't know if I said Kairi Sane would be a perfect one because, again, all of those women have great matches against each other. They've all proven that in the past. So I would actually be for that. But, I mean, really, is there really a bad answer with some of the women that are in this thing, you know, and they're still to be announced? So we'll have to see. But it just, man, Mako Satomura, I don't ever see signing with WWE, although I'd love her to be there. But I don't think she will. I would probably think of Satomura in the semifinals and think of, like, you know, her and Toni Storm and then leading to Toni Storm and Io Shirai, I think would be – that would probably be the direction I would go because they're both under contract. You haven't done anything with Io yet. And, again, Toni Storm still – that to me is – we've seen it in the past. If you're a fan of women's wrestling, it just seems to be awesome.
That's what I was thinking. The finals would be Toni and Io Shirai. That's who I was thinking. Like you, Mike. Be good final.
We shall see.
Now tonight, is tonight the night when Ronda Rousey returns?
Yeah, Ronda's back here tonight. Brock Lesnar is back here tonight. Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre's taking place tonight. A big Raw, Jim.
Oh, sounds like it. Now, what do you think is going to happen between Alexa and Ronda tonight?
Well, I would presume that because it's WWE, Alexa will get heat on her.
I'm betting Mickie James takes a bump in just ridiculously high heels, and we will all wonder how the hell does she do that and look that great at 39 years old.
One last thing, do you think Carmella loses the belt to Becky Lynch?
Oh man, I don't know.
No, I'd like it to happen, but no.
I just don't know. I mean, the obvious answer should be yes, you know what I mean? But it's WWE, and they just... You know, I was watching...
Don't call her a blonde gender. Going through Nakamura and Orton and stuff like that. It's like, you know, the same sort of way. It's like she's going to go through Charlotte, then Asuka, or, you know, and then now it's going to be Becky.
I was watching the G1, and, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but, like, it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the G1, but I was watching Kenny Omega out there. He's the IWGP champion, and he's got a broken heel. And he's out there, and he's just like, he's a crazy man. He's doing all of his dives. He's doing all of his craziness. He's doing everything that he always does, and he's having great matches. I mean, if you think they're 5 stars or not 5 stars, I mean, who cares? He's doing great matches. And, of course, he is out there, and he's following Okada. So, it's just like, who's going to beat Kenny Omega? Is it going to be Bad Luck Fale? No. Is it going to be, I don't want to denigrate anybody, but...
Yoshihashi?
Is it going to be Yoshihashi? It's unlikely. Is it going to be Goto? Probably not. And nothing against these guys, okay? But, like, it's going to be somebody who's fantastic. Maybe it's going to be Naito. Right? Am I wrong about this?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Then I'm thinking about WWE. And it's like, they got Asuka, who's never been the women's champion. Because the belt is on Carmella. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it's not just like, I mean, it's just crazy. When I you can't run a promotion. I guess if you're New Japan, you can, because everybody's so damn good. Like, you can put the title on any of 10 guys, and they're going to go down there and tear the house down. But, I mean, it's just kind of funny where there's so much talent in WWE. Do they ever put the belt on the best person? I guess AJ Styles. But they wouldn't go from AJ to Nakamura. I mean, at least, you know, on SmackDown, we're probably going to go from AJ to Joe. I mean, maybe that's why people love SmackDown and they love the quality of the SmackDown matches. But, God, Carmella's the champion and Asuka's there. And, like, Asuka never even won in the end. It was just Carmella beating Asuka over and over again. Now she's going to face Becky Lynch. Who's better than Carmella? Carmella's probably going to beat Becky Lynch. It's just fascinating to me.
Mella could still be money and not be in the title picture. You know, she could still play a great role and be a great character. She's a great character. She's great. She really is. She's not super wrestler. So if you're going to have 90 million belts, and I know they're just props in the phony made-up world in pro wrestling, but, like, I'm still a little bit old, you know? You can still incorporate some of those things that pro wrestling is about and is, and the true tried-and-true things that last and that work in New Japan all up and down. It's why they are successful right now. I mean, you can apply those things and still be sports entertainment. You can have a better balance. It's okay.
Just like looking at that last WWE pay-per-view. What was it? Was that pay-per-view? It wasn't Battleground.
Extreme Rules?
Oh, yeah, Extreme Rules. Is that the one we just watched?
Yeah, with no Extreme Rules matches. Yeah.
Okay, well, there were a couple Extreme Rules matches, well, but yeah. I'm just like looking at that show. And listen, I like Alexa Bliss. I don't think Alexa's terrible, okay? But she's
not
like
a great character.
She's not the best, but here she's the champion. And then Carmella's the champion. She's beating Asuka. And the B team are the tag team champions. I mean, they got a funny gimmick and everything, but they ain't the best tag team. They're not even close.
I know, but at least they're trying to reestablish them. But the problem there is they're still goofballs. It's like, you know, they keep lucking into things. If they, you know, that's where that's their biggest problem. I mean, make them semi-serious. You don't have any serious tag teams.
I mean,
Very few of them.
I love Luke Harper, but the Bludgeon Brothers, they ain't the best tag team. They're not even close. And it's just, it's funny to watch how they do things. And then, like I said, I watch New Japan, and it's, you know, the best guys are the champions. Because
characters. That's
the idea. The champions are the best guys. By the way, before we go to the break very quickly, Omega Sonata, Ishii, Zack Sabre Jr., Ibushi Ishii, and Sonata Ibushi, all awesome. Mm-hmm. Back in a moment, Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Couple of quick text messages here. Bird says, I highly recommend everybody check out yesterday's Triple Crown title match between Kento Miyahara and Zeus. Absolutely phenomenal match. Great way to get into current All Japan. Person here says, is WWE changing the SummerSlam main event? Not to my knowledge.
Well,
if they were gonna, they had a chance at Extreme Rules, but they didn't. So I presume it's still Lesnar versus Reigns. And in your opinion, this person says, are the Tongans getting heat? Good heat in the G1, or are they turning people off? Well, there's so much good stuff in the G1 that I don't think they're turning people off to the G1, although people may be skipping their matches now. That wouldn't surprise me.
Well, and that's, I mean, if the re-emphasis of Tonga, I think it's going to hurt him more than it hurts Fale. I just don't think it's helping his. If he was going to have a breakout, I mean, this is certainly establishing the group in some kind of way, but I don't know if it's really helping him individually as far as, like, being able to be a guy you can focus on in the single situation, high level.
Very quickly, massive one-day-only sale. Today, Monday, July 30th only. A full month of unlimited access to Wrestling Observer website for $3.99. Regularly $11.99. Today only, $3.99. All the new shows, two brand new shows every day, new observers, new back issues, 9,000 archived shows. Thousands of archived observers, thousands of archived figure fours, only $3.99. Do not miss out on this. You can go to WrestlingObserver.com. You can go to my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. It's pinned at the top. Or type in F4WOnline.com/$3.99. And we're out of here. I want to thank you all for listening here today. We're here every day, live and free. Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Links up at WrestlingObserver.com. Replays, commercial-free, up for subscribers. And we're out of here. Thanks, Mike, as always, everybody in the studio. Talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live.